hey, baby, you, why don't you come over here? I'll show you what a real man can do.
Happy New Year, McVeigh.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
So, happy 2017.
Here already.
God, that's over with.
Yeah, that was a fucking shit year, wasn't it?
Stinker, mate. Stinker.
Good crimbo, old friend.
Yeah, it was all right, thanks. Yeah, it was okay. What about yourself?
The highlight was probably meeting you.
Oh, well, bless you. Well, you know, bless
I mean, the sort of friend highlight, anyway.
Bless your heart.
Kind of had to get a few games of pool at the Magnet in Stockport.
Yeah, shout out to a fine boozer there.
Yeah, and a cheap night out there.
Yeah, it was.
You know, and thanks for coming all that way. You travelled the furthest by quite a lot, I think.
I did. Taxis and trains and buses and, no, yeah, that's about it. No, yeah. Took me some moving, but I got there.
It was nice to go somewhere different, to be fair, and like... Yeah. I like the Northern Quarter, but every pint, you know, that your pocket's fucking feeling it hard.
I agree.
It's nice to know it was kind of a poor man's night out, wasn't it?
But a fun one nonetheless.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, that was the night we found out Carrie Fisher died.
Yes. Yeah, that was terrible.
It's a crap end to a pretty crap year of celebrity deaths and, well, cool people deaths.
Yeah.
Celebrity is a tainted word now, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so. Because
post-Jade Goody and whatever kind of era.
Yeah. Kardashians and all that caper. Mm. But, cool folk and cool dogs as well. Let's not forget.
Oh, yeah, your dog passed away, yeah, of course. Yeah. I was thinking shit, man. That must have been... Is that almost a year ago already?
It was April.
Right, crikey. It's getting on that way then.
Bloody hell.
A good man gone. Good man gone.
Anyway, so let's not dwell on the misery that was that.
George Michael as well.
Yes.
So I remember I once told Hal, I saw some old photo and it said he had a George Michael beard. And he got he looked quite put out by it. In a defensive way to George, as if I was dissing George Michael, which I wasn't. I was merely complimenting a good beard, a finely crafted beard. It looked like he'd given it some, you know, Craig David style kind of sculpting.
Yeah.
You know.
And then it turns out Hal's a massive fan.
Is he?
Yeah, right,
nice one. Good to hear. Yeah.
When, on Christmas Day, he posted a picture of himself with his framed George Michael ticket, saying, "Jesus Christ. Who's next?"
Bloody hell, right.
Yeah, he was well gutted about George Michael. I remember he went to see him a couple of years ago.
Shit, no way.
Yeah.
Remember that Fast Love, was it? That album was seemed a winner.
So, is that the one that had Outside on?
It was his kind of comeback album, because he took a time out, didn't he? Because he kind of got stung by the record industry. And
the impression I got.
He was kind of gone for most of the 90s, and then suddenly... He was back as a kind of mature artist, having previously been about 12.
I think that's mid, like late 90s, like 97, 98.
I know, it was when I was in Germany, because a girl I used to get a lift off quite a lot over there was a fan.
Right.
And she'd say, "Oh, I'm going to put George Michael on," and I'd be thinking, "Fuck this." And then it was actually, not a bad album, so... It was fair play to him there.
Smooth.
Another good man gone.
Yeah, I know. Shit.
Yeah. No wonder he was upset if he thought I was dissing his hero then.
I know, exactly.
Shit.
But I don't think he was... To be fair, for a man of Hal's tastes and interests, to say that he's into George Michael, I think he was probably a little embarrassed. Undeservedly so.
Yeah.
I think we're grown up enough to not take the piss over liking certain things. But
I mean, even his corny numbers are actually all good songs. There's no fucking terrible songs in there for what I remember. Like that Last Christmas song, it's pretty corny, but it's a hell of a song.
I could do without it personally, but it's fine. Yeah, it's a good song. It's a good song. I think when we were playing pool and we you blasted on Careless Whisper
for that, some that was... meatheads in the corner.
Exactly.
I thought they were being honest. I don't think they were really expecting me to put on a George Michael song and dedicate it to them.
I know.
I remember saying, this shot goes out to George, and then totally fumbling the ball, getting a bit of a respectless look off him.
I know. Well, you were getting a bit cocky, saying, corner pocket, and then looking up in the air, and then not even touching the ball. That's some punk-ass shit there, Jim.
That was good. That was our first meet for the Beast night, like Christmas kind of
thing. It was. Christmas night out for the Beast.
Yeah, it was good as well. And it wasn't too, you know, we kept it pretty calm, and it didn't turn into a massive knees up like it usually does.
I agree.
It was pretty, we're growing up.
It was a civil few pints of an evening.
Yeah. So, have you been watching anything good lately?
Well, New Year's Day, I watched four films I hadn't seen.
Okay.
And started off seriously strong with London Has Fallen, the sequel to Olympus Has Fallen, which was thoroughly decent, but London Has Fallen takes it to a whole new level. I was thoroughly impressed. Have you seen either of the Has Fallens?
No, not because I don't want to see them, though. I've not got around to it, but it's on Netflix, isn't it? Both of them are.
Okay. First one's pretty much Die Hard in the White House, with Gerard Butler having to be a badass, and now this time they come to London because the British Prime Minister's died, and you know all visiting heads of state and dignitaries will be in town. So, oh shit, it's open season on... leaders, and it's Gerard Butler and the President running around London. It's fucking badass. There's some excellent stuff in there. Well worth your time. And a completely medicinal, mindless hangover movie. It was perfect. It's one of those ones where they decide to make two films. Remember, like in the 90s, they made Armageddon and Deep Impact? It's both films about an asteroid. What was the point in that? But yeah, it was a kind of similar thing. Olympus Has Fallen came out in the same year as White House Down, and Olympus Has Fallen won, hence it got a sequel, and there's supposed to be a third one on the way as well. But yeah, thoroughly entertaining shit.
It's good to hear Gerard Butler's back in the game.
I know, yeah.
I've not seen anything with him in since Gamer, which I think is an underrated sci-fi flick.
Oh yeah, it's not bad, Gamer.
Rick Rape,
Jesus. Peter Petrelli wearing vinyl, it's terrible.
And that fat dude sat at home kind of stroking himself as he directs some woman around.
Yeah, it's pretty ropey.
It's a pretty, yeah, it's got its moments though.
Yes, it does.
I was going to say,
go on,
we talked about doing the awards, but I don't think there's any rush for that or anything.
Alright.
I almost had a shitlist nomination as well, because after Carrie Fisher's death, as followed by Debbie Reynolds, which is also a shocker, people started feeling the need to post this link about the smallpox inventor died, who, you know, his invention saved something like, you know, 500 million lives or whatever. It's just like, you know, great, fantastic. But it was that kind of undertone, like, it was, of course, it was a Guardian link, and there was that undertone of like, yeah, well, you didn't know about him, did you? And after all these celebrity deaths and all this shit, you know, just that kind of like patronising, condescending tone to it all.
Yes.
Like, stuff we've moaned about in the past. And so, like, I kind of bottled out of doing it, but on New Year's Day, I was going to post a picture of Bad Grandpa topless and saying, RIP to Bernard Ballbags, the creator of Cocoa Puffs. save millions and turn the milk chocolatey. I thought there'd be a definite backlash. Some fucker wouldn't take it well. So
no, people don't take things well. Jesus.
But yeah, I thought maybe we could have a quick wrap up and then do the awards, if that's all right.
Sounds good, man. Sounds good.
You just bought the Bad Boys box set, right?
That was a belated Christmas present, actually, from my good pal Scott.
Nice one. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was a bargain. Still available in HMV for a tenner. Bad Boys 1 and 2 on Blu-ray. You can't go wrong.
Sheet. 10 sweet pounds.
Fucking right, man. And I watched Bad Boys 2 last night for the first time in years, and it is mental. It's like Michael Bay's obviously, you know, intense action, crazy business, and he gets widely the piss taken for it. I think this is where it started, because this is right. Michael Bay. It's just fucking, it's insane. It's 2.5 hours long. It makes very little sense, but it's a feast for the eyes, man. I said to Scott, it's like, it's like David Fincher did a load of bath salts and cocaine and tried to remake Miami Vice before Miami Vice was a thing. It's fucking unhinged, and it's really funny as well. And also, I suppose it's very sexist and, you know, casually racist and stuff, but it's fucking ridiculous, but well entertaining.
Yeah, I've never actually seen Bad Boys 2, so I'm going to have to sort that out at some point.
Oh, it's worth a viewing, man.
Yeah, I'd give it a whirl. Give it a bloody whirl. I like The Rock.
Oh, The Rock's mint.
It's a bit of a 90s classic, you know.
Yeah.
The final Connery Bond film for me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, talking to Bad Boys, I was saying to you online about, I finally saw the Sean Penn version from the 82, I think.
Yes.
Watched it last night and was pretty impressed. I mean, the only issue was that the quality was, the actual footage looks a bit shit. It's like, it's not had much, you know, minimal restoration, and it looks 20 years older than it actually is, kind of thing.
Right.
Which is just a shame, because it is a quality film, and it's to say it's got Sean Penn in, and Clancy Brown's in there, the Kurgan.
Ooh, nice. Yeah.
The other guy I recognised was the Dirty Harry's partner, Paco. Whoever plays him, he was one of the he was kind of a down-to-earth prison guard sort of guy. Well, more like a kind of fake father figure to the inmates, so to speak, and like trying to do right by them,
right,
you know, doing it the best way he can, kind of thing. But it was a lot like Scum, but
ooh,
not quite as grim. And it was very grim scenes in it, but just generally a bit more jolly. And a bit more of a laugh, really.
All right.
You know, kind of fucked up stuff happens, but it doesn't seem as bad, because it's not like some little lad getting bummed in a greenhouse. You know, it's like, it's almost as bad as that, but not quite. And there's some very satisfying payoffs. And I mean, it's so close to Scum in some ways. I wonder whether it is a remake or not.
Right.
Because they could. I'm pretty sure if it happened today, there'd be some legal action involved.
Jeez.
Because, like, you know, in Scum with the snooker ball scene.
Yeah.
Where he, like, takes out Phil Daniels' dickhead.
Dickhead.
he basically does that to Clancy Brown with a couple of, some cans of Coke in a pillowcase.
Jeez,
it's nasty. It looks like it would be, you know, yeah, it doesn't look fun. But, highly recommended.
Cool.
Really, really enjoyed that. And quite a good message behind it as well.
You know, yeah.
The point of it is that all the gang type stuff is just bollocks, and don't get caught up in it, and it's just a waste of your life. Which I thought was good, because it does, to be fair, it does spend most of the film glamorising it. it's not, I wasn't watching it for the moral, but there's a great character in it. It's like a sort of little Jewish lad who shares the cell with Sean Penn. And he's like, he looks like the most puss-all person in the prison, but he's like a really funny, sort of tenacious kind of little character. And he's like, one point, he punches Clancy Brown in the dick, gives him the dick punch, and runs off. And he was like probably the best character in it. But check it out, man. Yeah,
I'll give it a spin.
Give it a bloody whirl.
Yeah. I finally got around to watching Fury. You know, the David Ayer film with Brad Pitt and the tank.
Yeah, any good?
It's decent. Yeah, it's a little dour, but yeah, it's thoroughly decent. Awesome cast. Brad Pitt is ace. John Bernthal bringing the mental. Shia LaBeouf doing a perfectly awesome job as a Bible quoting gunnery man.
Right.
Yeah, it's a wicked cast. It's just five men in a tank and the horrors of war laid bare. Yeah, right, it's decent. Right. It's decent. Worth your time.
Yeah, I remember Martin Greaves telling me he got into some big row online about the morals of the film. Like I was saying, the moral was that war's going to ruin everybody's lives, blah, blah, blah. And then some like angry American guy's like, no, it's about being the last man standing, motherfucker. Putting Greavesy right about it. Yeah, it's a good job there's a lot of water in between people like that and us.
No.
Well, it's Krampus. I saw Krampus for a bit of Christmas viewing.
Yeah.
Which is okay.
It's fine, isn't it?
Yeah, it's probably, you know, it's a good addition to the Christmas kind of films.
Yeah.
Could have been better, but could have been worse. Just needed a bit more Krampus in it, I thought.
I agree. I mean, yeah, I think the stuff with like the gingerbread lads and all the haunted toys, I thought that was good. But yeah, it was essentially Gremlins like a Christmas small soldiers.
Yeah.
Krampus should have brought a bit more of the pain, I thought.
Yeah, like one kind of, I thought was a nice touch that they didn't make much of was that he seemed to be wearing Father Christmas's face.
Yeah, it took you to point that out to me. I just thought he looked a bit like Father Christmas, like an angry Father Christmas. But yeah, it does distinctly look like he's got his face on.
Yeah, like ripped off Santa's face, which is a pretty nasty thought, really. But they didn't really kind of make that clear either way, but
no.
Seemed to be the implication. Although the teeth are attached as well, which probably be a bit weird. So your teeth aren't stuck to your skin, are they?
No, that's true.
Well,
if he's wearing his entire head.
Could be, yeah. Yeah, it certainly, it had a nice feel to it. I like the whole look and feel. It just, I think maybe they just held back to keep the rating down, you know, which is often the case of these things, isn't it? And get it in at a 12A or whatever. Was it a 12A or was it a 15?
It was a 15.
Okay. It must have only just got a 15 because it wasn't that bad, really, was it?
No. Did you see Trick or Treat?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I love that film. Yeah,
it's by the same guy. That was his follow up.
No way, right?
It took him about 5 years to do it, but that was his next film.
It's funny you should say that. Yeah, I was going to say it when I said a nice look and feel. I was going to mention Trick or Treat for having the same thing. So,
well, there you bloody go, mate. Yeah. There you bloody go.
Designated Survivor.
Designated Survivor. No, I got nothing. I got no info on that.
It's a show that pops up on Netflix. I think it's a Netflix show, but it's a bit hard to figure out what is and isn't because of there's a bit of trickery going on, isn't there now?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Slap the logo on it. It's about apparently a designated survivor is when a member of the U.S. Parliament's taken somewhere safe, and just in case shit goes, things kick off. And which they do, and then he ends up, it's got Keith Sutherland in it, or Keith O'Sutherland as I called him as a kid. He's the designated survivor, and he's kind of like a nice guy politician that isn't that ambitious. He just wants to do good, and he's in it for the right reasons, and then suddenly he ends up becoming the president by default, and he's kind of like, fucking hell.
Shit.
What am I going to do here? And everyone's like, who the fuck's this guy? Who's this clown? Who's this chucklehead we've got leading us?
Well, that's not too far from the fucking truth, is it?
Yeah. So, and it's, you know, it's kind of a bit of a conspiracy type jobby, predictably. Right. And it's 10 episodes, but there's more coming in March. And did get really into that one because they really kind of, they pace it very well.
Right.
It's one of them where they give you, you know, they don't give you too much at once, and you kind of creeps along. You're like, oh, what's going to happen to this? And it ended on a real cunt of a cliffhanger.
Shit.
Which, but I'm glad it's coming back in March, so that's only a couple of months away now, isn't it? So, you know.
Well, that sounds decent, man.
Yeah, get involved.
And I'm just looking at the cast. It's got the lovely Natasha McElhone as his wife. Excellent cheekbones.
I was going to say, I find her a bit annoying.
Oh, all right.
With that big nose and
Fucking hell.
She was in...
Californication.
She was in The Truman Show, right?
Yes, I think. Maybe. It's
kind of my reference for her.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, no, she's okay. It's just all his stuff with his family is just boring and just detracts. So she's kind of inherited a crap role in that sense. But it's all about the politics, but they're obviously trying to fill screen time. So he's got like some dickhead son that pops up now and again.
I did watch, I watched on New Year's Day 4.5 films. The half of a film was me passing out in bed watching Death Wish 5, The Face of Death.
Charles Bronson.
Charles Bronson in his last theatrical film. And have I got a lot of time for the Bronson? This is a bit of a shitter, but it's quite entertaining in the usual pointless brutality versus, you know.
Yeah.
And some, then, because, I mean, how old was Bronson when he does this? Like, let's have a look. Death Wish 5, 1994. He was born in 21.
What the fuck? Oh, my God.
21, 71, 81, 91. No, 21.
So he can what? Clearly remember World War II then. I mean, yeah. If he was like... he would have been almost... Well, by the end of World War II, he was a young teenager. That's insane.
I know. So 21, 31, 41, 51, 61, 71. He was 50 in 71. 81, 91. He was 70 fucking 3 in Death Wish 5. 73. That's only 3 years younger than my dad. And he's bringing the pain. There's a bit where...
Same age as my mum, actually, I think.
Fucking hell. He wants to take out this guy. And he knows he lives in this secure compound, so he sees that he's got security lights and cameras and shit, so he gets this radio controlled football from the toy shop, and the guy at the toy shop's like, hey, is this a present for your son or something? He's like, no, it's a present for someone special. And then he fucks off with it and he sends it to this guy's house, and he stood outside the gates like leaning through, and he's using the ball to go around and set off the security lights, and this knobhead comes out with a gun and he's running around the outside of his house. He's like, oh, where is, someone's here, and then he sees the football and he picks it up, and then Bronson's like through the gate, he's like, hey dickhead, I got a cure for your dandruff problem. Presses fire on the remote and blows the fucker up.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
I have to check that out. Is the first one quite kind of serious? And
the first one's serious, and I think it's really good. It's a little, it's a little right wing, I suppose, in terms of mob and vigilante justice. But we like that because his family's been fucking raped by Jeff Goldblum or whatever. Death Wish. The first Death Wish is mean and decent, and then they kind of just go a bit more and more insane. I think Death Wish 3, I think, is the one. With I think he's in New York, and it ends with him fucking taking a fucking guy out of a block of flats with a bazooka, and it's like, you were a nice mad-mannered architect who picked up a gun and took out some hoodlums, and now you're wielding artillery army weapons blowing up deadbeats. it's well up your street, man.
I like the sound of that. I like that.
Check out the Death Wishes. Bulletproof asshole.
I was going to say because everybody kind of knows that the first Rocky film probably like the best in terms of good filmmaking, but
yeah.
I don't know anybody that doesn't secretly like 3 or 4 the most, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Rocky 4 all the way for me, man.
Yeah, I think I'm torn between 3 because I love it when Mr. T starts saying, hey baby, why don't you come over here, I'll show you what a real man can do to Adrian.
Isn't there a bit where what's he called, Clubber Lang?
Yeah,
he's like, hey Clubber, what's your prediction for this fight? My prediction? Pain. Fucking strong.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to watch all those films back to back again.
Yeah,
it's been so long since I saw her did that, but
yeah, I'm hearing really good things about Creed, which is essentially Rocky 7 to a degree.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, really?
I liked it. Yeah, I thought it was a really well made film. I don't really want to spoil it for you, but I thought it was good. It's different, but it still feels like a Rocky film.
Cool.
And I like the guy from The Wire. I can't remember his name, but he plays it pretty well.
Yeah, Michael Kitts, it's P. Jordan or something. Is that his name?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and his character's similar to like Apollo's, so he's a bit flash and a bit he's got a bit of attitude, which I thought kind of worked. And like Stallone kind of sort of takes the piss out of him a bit because of that. And so they had a good chemistry, I thought. And it all feels a bit like The Wire because it's got what's his name, Avon in it.
Oh right,
yeah, nice. Yeah, he's in there somewhere. So that's good to see those guys getting work because fucking hell, if anyone deserves it, anyone in The Wire deserves a job, you know.
Oh yeah.
I watched a kind of one that I presume was out there to cash in on the new Ghostbusters films, one called Ghost Team, which I assumed was shit, but then I realised it had Napoleon Dynamite in it.
Okay.
I gave it a go. I think that's a Netflix jobby. I can't imagine I would have rented that.
Was it a TV show?
No, it's a film. It's a film.
Okay.
Just about some random guys that decide to go on a kind of ghost hunt. Like the main guy, the Napoleon Dynamite guy, you know, the guy from Blades of Steel as well.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
He runs a copy shop and the guys... Some old guy comes in wanting all these signs copied to say, like, keep out, dangerous, bloody blah. And he's like, oh, why do you need all these? And he's like, oh, because there's, like, weird haunting type shit going on. I keep getting kids sniffing around. I want to scare them off.
Okay.
And he's a bit of a kind of wannabe ghost hunter. So he gathered his mates and they go looking for ghosts. And it takes a bit of a strange route. But I thought it was all right. It was not. I'm not saying go and check it out. It's amazing. It's certainly, if you've got time to kill, it's one worth a peep.
Okay.
I suspect I'd enjoy it more than the new Ghostbusters, to be honest. you said that was all right. To be fair, right?
It's all right. It's a little flabby. I don't know what it is with. Like, I think the guy makes good movies. Because I like Bridesmaids and I liked The Heat, but they're all like 2 hours. They're all at least 2 hours, and they don't need to be that long at all. And then when they come out on disc, there's an extra fucking 20 minutes that you didn't ask for.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
They kind of outstay their welcome, I think.
Right.
But they are perfectly fine though.
Yeah, because I mean, Melissa absolutely loved Bridesmaids. She thought it was the best shit she'd seen for a long time, and she insisted I watch it and. It just wasn't for me, but I'm not saying it was shit. It's just like, well, this, you know, like,
yeah.
Sort of like Bridget Jones, who's like, it does. What I mean? It does what it does for the who. It's, you know, it's got a target audience. I'm not in it, but I'm not saying it's shit because I'm not in it. And
okay.
I think that was the case for me with Bridesmaids. Like, most of the jokes seem to be about two women falling out and the bride herself seemed to be really sort of selfish and annoying, and I just found it hard to watch from that point of view. I liked seeing the guy from the IT Crowd in a sort of Hollywood role. Thought he kind of pulled it off pretty well. And
oh yeah, yeah.
That John Hamm guy, is it?
John Hamm's funny as fuck. He's so funny, especially when if you see, like, the I think we've talked about the Saturday Night Live short things that he does.
Yeah,
The one when he turns up as the fucking sax man. That's genius. That's fucking genius.
Yeah, I do know the one you mean. Ovavo or something. I can't remember his name. Sergio.
Yeah.
You went to see the new Star Wars flick.
I did. Did you not?
Star Wars, I Rebel.
You not seen it?
I didn't, mate. I didn't. Oh. Which I'm not. I wasn't being sour grapes about it. I had a bit of a skint one. Bit skint at the minute, and I decided trailers haven't really sold it, so I'm going to save my money. Certainly intrigued by it, but I thought
it's fine. I'm happy to be corrected because I spent the year whinging about it, saying that Gareth Edwards is fucking boring, but he brought it. Credit to the guy. And to be fair, it's got studio notes all over it. And it's hard to say much to you without giving away all the fucking awesome bits. It does far more than I expected it to. It's well worth your time, man. Well worth your time.
I like the idea. I've heard there's a character that's like a sort of extremist rebel.
Yeah, yeah. What's his name?
Is that
Forrest Whitaker?
I was hoping it'd be him. I guess they'd give him a decent character.
Have you been watching Star Wars Rebels?
I've seen a bit. Yeah, I like it.
He's in that, his character, or he's certainly been alluded to, and he's got more of a role in the next series of Rebels. But he's a character from that universe, and he's a badass. He gets like, they kind of paint him as a kind of, it's essentially like the Osama bin Laden of the Rebel Alliance. He's like, oh, this guy's a bit too crazy even for us. Let's get rid of him. And then he's just like a nutter living in a cave.
So the Rebels kind of universe, actually, that's actually canon then, is it?
I believe so, yes. Yeah.
Bloody hell, right, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So there you go. It's not too much of a spoiler, because there's loads of websites that are like, 25 cameos you might have missed in Rogue One. But
I must admit, the only problem with not seeing it is it's gradually the iceberg's being chipped away at, if you know what I mean. I keep spotting things and thinking, fucks, at some point every twist in this film's just gonna start appearing and I need to see it. But I've got time to go and see it, I suppose.
You have. But there's one that made me smile, and not in a kind of, oh my god, this is amazing, but in a kind of, ha ha, those dickheads. It's a nice touch. But I'll hold off and tell you some other time.
Okay. I've seen a shot with Vader without his helmet on that looked quite cool.
Okay.
And it's nice to see it wasn't the old, you know, the prequel guy.
Oh yeah.
So I'm glad they kind of didn't go down that route, to be honest.
To be fair, actually, I was really hungover when I watched it, and I was nodding off a bit. I might have missed that, Jim, to be honest.
Right.
But Vader's good. He's I think at one point he makes a pun.
No way.
It's snarky.
I like the idea we're going to finally see Vader's castle. That's in there, isn't it?
I didn't know that there was such a thing. But yeah, you get to see his house, yeah.
Well, I think Vader's castle was going to be in something like Jedi,
right?
And then they talked about it in the prequels and never did it, because the planet where he has the fight with Obi-Wan, I think in old school Star Wars terms, was meant to be where he lives.
Yeah, Malastare.
Malastare, eh?
I'm sure it's called Malastare. the volcanic planet.
I'm sure James Wainwright's probably punching a wall about now with our inept Star Wars knowledge. You know, fuck off. What? The guy from Chimera.
Oh, fucking hell, right, sorry. I thought you were on Star Wars terms here.
The guy who wrote you a 4-page essay saying you're a cunt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that fucker. All right, so is this where Darth Vader's house is?
Isn't it something Mustafar? That's it, isn't it? I don't know. To get close to the mic, I've had to shove my keyboard under my desk. So.
Oh, that's a shame. I'm looking up. Malastare is a fucking planet in the Star Wars universe. I've not made that up.
Okay.
Right, okay, let's have a look at fucking Mustafar. Fuck's sakes.
Here we go.
Shit, you're right. Jim C.
It's got loads of fucking lava robots flying around, according to George Lucas.
That is the fucker. There's a big warning on it saying, this page contains major spoilers from Rogue One. Caution is advised. Nice one.
Bloody hell, son. Should I go and see it then?
I would go and see it.
I'm a Star Wars man. I mean, I've...
Oh, you're more of a Star Wars man than I am, for fuck's sakes.
I'll be honest, I like Star Trek, but I wouldn't say I'm a massive new Trek fan. I like it, I like it, but I take it with a bit of a pinch of salt, and I've got a feeling it's going to be the same for this sort of new Star Wars, if you know what I mean. Because, I mean, looking back on The Force Awakens, what they did with Han Solo was kind of a bit depressing. You know, and he kind of just turned him into this fucking loser again. And he's just bumming around with Chewie, stealing people's cargoes and stuff. And it's like, I don't know. It was far from being a perfect film, although I did very much enjoy it at the cinema.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think Force Awakens just had a job to do and say, you know, hello, well, welcome back. Forget about that other shit that you've just seen. This is how it's going to be now. And it looked nice. And I think the only problem was it just followed the beats of the first one a bit too similarly. Whereas I think what's good about Rogue One is that it's free from all that. It doesn't have to, it can be its own thing. It doesn't have to, it can, you know, it can doff the cap to anyone, but it can still, it's not beholden to anyone this time. And I thought that was quite liberating for it. It is clearly a Star Wars film in the Star Wars universe. And I guess it's the first one that just doesn't feel like a Star Wars film, and not in a bad way, in a different way. And I think that's a good thing, which is, again, something I never thought I'd say about a fucking Gareth Edwards film.
It's good to see it's actually worked, that it's made money and people generally seem to like it.
Yeah.
For the most part. Because it seemed like they were trying to do what they do with the games and the comics and, it, you know, to some extent the books. Like, basically just step off, you know, take a moment of the continuity and step sideways with it and
yes.
do something interesting that fits in somewhere. Which isn't easy, I think. It's easy to fuck that up. And, you know, from the trailers, it certainly looked like they had fucked it up. But obviously, now I'm hearing they haven't, so that's good. I certainly didn't want it to fall down, you know. It's just that I Rebel line was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
There's a few disses on YouTube now. If you type in I Rebel,
really?
You get a few good disses. Yeah.
There's more to like about it than there is to not like about it, I'd say.
Right.
That's I think like, the droid is ace, and the guy, oh, I've forgotten his name, Riz Ahmed, who was in Four Lions, he's good. Donnie Yen.
No, I didn't know that was him.
That's him. Donnie Yen's in it. Donnie Yen's bringing the Kung Fu Pain.
Yeah. Is that the Wishy style?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. I mean, what's her name? Jyn Erso, the lead. She's all right, but you're in it for everyone else, really.
Yeah. I was saying to Sweet Steve the other night, which he found hilarious in a sort of negative way against me kind of thing, but I was saying she seems a bit like Hermione in space. And like, why would I want to watch that?
That's what you mean.
Kind of posh Star Wars space girl, because I didn't get that vibe from Rey, even though Rey sounds, you know, similar-ish kind of voice. She didn't have that sort of, I don't know, that sort of air of condescension about her. I thought Rey was quite charming.
Yeah, I agree.
It'd be interesting to see what they're going to do with that Force Awakens story, because certainly Kylo was a great character, I thought.
Yeah.
And
well, we'll find out at the friggin' end of the year, man. When we get Rian Johnson's episode 8. Now that's exciting.
Right, yeah.
Is it this year? Or has it been? Oh, shit.
It will be December, won't it? I think.
Yeah, I was hoping so. Yeah.
I believe I might be wrong about that. I'm sure Wayne Wright will put us right. No disintended. I'm kind of more excited about Guardians 2.
Yes.
Because I think that, for me in recent years, of the sort of fun, you know, kapow sort of sci-fi, it's all a bit about Guardians for me. Although, you know, no diss to the Star Wars universe, but...
No, Guardians was fun though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was something a bit... It felt a bit fresher because it's not got those fucking prequels in the back of your mind. Dragging it down. Something quite cool about Guardians, and it's stood the test of time as well, because you can watch it a few times and not get bored of it.
Yeah,
something new every time.
I think the only thing it just suffers, like I suppose, like a lot of the Marvel films do, which only dawned on me like earlier. They've got shit villains.
Yeah. I mean, that ending was fucking rubbish, wasn't it? To be honest, it won't ruin it if people have not seen it. But
I liked the very ending, but I just thought that what's his name? I can't remember his fucking name.
It's Rodan.
Ronan.
Rodan? Oh, yeah. Sorry, must have been.
Ronan. Ronan the Destroyer. Whatever. No, not particularly threatening.
I mean, they kind of spent the whole film building him up, and then at the end reveal he's a fucking Muppet.
I know.
Fooled by a simpleton, you know.
Exactly. yeah, that's fair.
Speaking of Kapow Blam, I saw Hardcore Henry at last.
Oh shit, how is it?
I got a lot out of it. Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a mindfuck. Because I watched it on my new TV, and I discovered I could drag my new TV halfway across our living room so that the screen ends up looking massive in the dark.
Fucking hell.
As long as the little one's well asleep by then, it's safe to do it. It just blew my mind a bit, to be honest, because it is like just playing a computer game, watching it. Is it Charto Copley, the District 9
guy?
I mean, he's the main guy in it. He's fucking hilarious, that guy. At one point, he's like... one point, he's got this huge, ridiculous booth on, and your main character walks in the room, and he's got like five beautiful women on the go, and covered in coke, and just yelling, "Hey, come here, my friend." And you hear some woman say, "God, I'm not going back in there. That guy's destroyer classed." And he's got to help Hardcore Henry do something. And you see him, and he's just like, "No, I'm in no condition to do this." And then just passes out for a bit. That guy is cool. Yeah, it's worth your time. I mean, you've got to be in the right frame of mind to watch it.
It looks like a couple of beers would help.
Yeah, I think I'd had a couple. Yeah, it's not a kind of, it's not in the same category as I, Daniel Blake, if you know what I mean.
Yes, got you.
But get involved, check it out. You'd love it, I reckon.
Yeah, I'm on board.
You'd appreciate it. Although your taste can be a bit here and there, can't they? Because certain films you have a beef with sometimes for no proper reason.
I know, it's weird. I'm
still getting over you not liking Turbo Kid.
Oh, fucking bollocks, mate. Bollocks.
Outrageous. Yeah,
I know, right? What are you going to do?
High Rise. Saw that one.
Yeah, that's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was great. I really liked it. Pretty heavy viewing.
Yeah, it's very... Because obviously it's set in the 70s, isn't it?
Yeah, and everyone looks like a kind of 70s weatherman.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very odd. And very... It feels like... I think it's the first film from Ben Wheatley that actually looks like a... It's a proper love letter to Stanley Kubrick, I think. It's really... Yeah. Uh-huh. It's got a nice feel, and it's just... It's just... The tone of it is all over the show. Like, I didn't dislike it, but I don't know if I really loved it either. It's just... It's weird.
It was certainly not the easiest film to understand, I thought. It probably helps if you've read the book, which I haven't. And it seems like, when you're watching a film and you think this is blatantly a book adaptation and rather than just a straightforward written for film kind of thing. Which can be good and bad. But I like that it all looked a bit like the foyer out of Clockwork Orange as well.
Yeah,
kind of. And Luke Evans finally gets a good film, because he just seems to be in a lot of stinkers, that guy.
Yeah, he doesn't get the best look, does he? I mean, the last good thing I saw him in was Fast Furious 6.
Right, how was that?
Decent. It's really decent, actually.
The last
two Fast and the Furiouses are a perfect double whammy, because you've got Jason Statham fucking bringing it to the max. It's fucking ace. It's well worth your time. Nice. Certainly, if you've not seen any Fast and Furious, check out 6 and 7. 7's the one that Paul Walker died when they were making it.
All right.
And the way they deal with him is well nicely handled. But yeah, 6 and 7, fucking ace.
Cool, cool.
Well worth doing. I think 6 gets points because it's set in London. I think towards the end, and there's a bit where some guy's eating a bag of Seabrook crisps, and I'm like, fucking a Seabrook. I'm not going for Walkers, I'm in Seabrook crisps. Points for that.
Yeah, speaking of deaths within films, I suppose, because Princess Leia's featured in Rogue One, I've heard, even though it's because she was she had a moan on Twitter that they didn't get her to motion capture for it, which is
right.
Quite a legit moan, I think, because
I don't know if it is,
right?
Because
right.
she was what, 60, and she was 20-ish when she did Star Wars. If anyone's got the same shape 40 years later, yeah, I don't see that being a valid. You didn't hear fucking David Prowse having a cry that they didn't wheel him out to play Darth Vader. Do you know what I mean? Come on.
But by that rationale, Andy Serkis should look like a fucking gorilla, though. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure they can.
Hey, mate, I've seen fucking 24-hour Party People. He plays Martin Hannett. He does look like a fucking gorilla. No. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Fair enough. Logic taken aback.
I think it would have been nice for her to have.
It would. Yeah.
Although she got. I suppose it. I guess she got a time in the sun last year, which is good to see.
Yeah, and I think she, you know, she'd shot her stuff for Episode 8 as well.
Yeah, oh, that's good. So she's right, cool. So they've actually got all they need for that.
I believe so. Yeah,
that's good. That's good. Well, that'll be nice to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty sad one. That I must admit, it's pretty rare a celebrity death really makes me feel genuinely sad. But
I know. I think when we were in the pub, I read it. And you'd gone to the loo, and I got an alert from on the phone. And I think I'd had sufficient amounts of drink that if I'd have carried on reading, I would have started weeping a bit.
Yeah,
it was right sad, really sad. And then two days later, a fucking mum dies.
It's not good. It's not good. I suppose it's like, I guess, you know, probably Mr. Spock's death was one I felt really sad about Leonard Nimoy's death because.
Yeah.
Spock was such a big part of my life as a kid.
Yeah.
And it just seems like Spock could never die, and suddenly, well, fucking hell, Spock died.
I know.
It's, you kind of have to think, oh, at some point Adam West's going to die, and Michael Keaton's going to die, and Michael Bay's going to die, you know?
Oh, fuck hell. And I'm going to die, and you're going to die. Do you know what I did watch recently, though? This isn't. This is, don't. There's no disrespect here at all. But I think Leonard Nimoy also voiced Sentinel Prime in Transformers 3.
All right, cool.
And have you seen Transformers 3?
No.
It's fucking brilliant. But there's a bit where he's Sentinel Prime, and he essentially turns out. The film's old enough for it. The statute of limitations on spoilers is fucking off. But he's essentially a turncoat, and it turns out he's been working with Megatron all along.
Yeah.
But there's a nice bit of foreshadowing early on where one of the bots comes in who's living with Shia LaBeouf, and Star Trek's on, and he sits down and he goes, ah, oh, shit, I've seen this. This is the one where Spock goes nuts. Fast forward to later, Spock does actually go nuts. And he uses actually lines from Star Trek. There's a bit where he's trying to justify what he's doing to Optimus Prime. And he says, well, I told you, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. And that's a Spock line.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, of course it is.
So kudos to Transformers 3 for all the Spock references when you're getting Spock to voice your big baddie.
Shit, sure, man. That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah,
I started watching that Spock for the... Yeah, it was called a Spock documentary on Netflix, and it was made by his son that seemed a bit of a dick. I didn't really kind of take to him.
Right.
And I only ended up watching about half an hour of it. But maybe I was just in the wrong mood to watch it. But I've often heard Leonard Nimoy didn't speak like that originally, and that he had elocution lessons to try and get into act, you know, get better roles in acting.
Right.
And right at the start of it, it has him talking in some... You've not got video, you've just got... a voice recording,
right?
And it sounds like some sort of Boston kind of gangster going, hey, yeah, and then we got show, you know, a real sort of super strong kind of accent, and it's insane at how different it sounded.
Shit.
So it took me a minute to register it was him. It was just something about it sounded familiar as well.
Right.
So that was cool. So, because it's not, I mean, it's so long ago. I guess it's so long since he came to Hollywood that there wouldn't be much of that around, I suppose.
No.
But yeah, his son seemed like a bit of a tool.
Fuck him, man.
Seems to be trading on Spock's likeness a bit and all that. Yeah, I don't know.
Twat.
suppose if your dad's Mr. Spock, you're going to kind of...
Oh, you'll be dining out on that for a while, won't you?
Yeah. you seen anything else?
Well, I was thinking, like, we could cover this in the... I can't remember what awards we were doing, but I've got a new award for Soul Crusher of the Year.
Okay. Go for it.
Well, not honourable mention to I, Daniel Blake, which I think I covered last time, so I'm not covering that. But I watched Charlie Kaufman's Anomalisa.
Oh, right, yeah. Uh-huh.
Have you seen it?
No, because you said it's heavy going, so I've been waiting for the right day.
Yeah, you need the... Well, yeah, you do need the right day, but it's a wonderful, wonderful fucking film, man. Stop-motion animation, and I've never seen puppets, strip off, and you see, like, David Thewlis's character, who's the main man, he's got a paunch, and there's even... The level of detail is, like, you know, a man gets out of the shower... It's a little chilly. There's a little shrinkage going on. There's a puppet with shrinkage. but yeah, it's just him. He's a lonely but married man who sees everyone as the same person until he encounters this one girl whilst staying at a hotel. And it's a brief encounter type tale. It's wonderful, but a little sad.
Yeah,
but impressive nonetheless.
It looked interesting. It was certainly in that category of Guardian readers will love it, if you know what I mean.
Oh, they fucking did, yeah. But,
yeah.
We say that like it's a fucking term of disrespect now. I'm a Guardian reader. Do you know what I mean? It's the annoying thing.
Yeah,
well, I guess just, that's the self-loathing nature of it.
I think I've just got a, I don't know, fucking... being my whatever, I don't know.
Well, you're right, it's the same kind of humourless right on righteousness that you see on Facebook groups such as Only in Maysbrook.
Wet the whistle.
You've got it, haven't you?
Are you off the liquor for January?
Oh, fuck. No chance.
I'm having a bit of a breather, just because mainly money wise.
Well, I think. Christmas. I came back with Christmas booze. I've got a fucking litre of Jack Daniels there, and it's our singer's birthday on Saturday, and he always has a party. It is, so there's no point. There's no point in going sober for a few days. But I have cut down on the fags, and I'm getting the smoky pipe on the go.
Okay.
So the past three mornings, I've not had a fag on the way to work. And I've only had one fag at lunchtime, so yesterday I only had three fags compared with me.
That's good. Turned into a bit of a vapist.
Exactly. McVape.
A human guinea pig, so to speak, for the long-term effects.
And, I can't say to it. I'd rather just use it. I'd rather have less fags, but it's nice to have it there just as a bit of a crutch.
No, I think it's a step in the right direction.
It feels like it.
I mean, sorry for being down on it there. Just when I was at that bar, there was a group called they'd call themselves the Vape Sesh, something or other.
Fucking hell!
It was basically some fat, smelly blokes, just all trying out different flavours and the odd like kind of woman with dodgy teeth or something tagging along.
Jesus.
Let's credit them. I kind of like subtly take the piss out of them in a friendly kind of way. And
right.
I went out, they asked me to take a photo of them, and I like took a couple, and then they wanted me to stop. You know, they were kind of that, they're like, that's great. And then I took a few more, partly to deliberately wind them up a bit, and then started saying stuff like, go on, give us a smile, give us a thumbs up on the right, and then all this kind of shit. And then eventually he asked something and he'll give me the rods.
Good work.
Yeah. That's the, they didn't even know each other as well. They all met online. met up for the vape sesh. But the funny thing was, like, one of my colleagues gave him this balcony upstairs that was meant to be shut, but he was just worried they'd scare off the other customers.
Jesus.
Because they all looked a bit undesirable, which is pretty mean. You know, I wouldn't have done that, but there was also when you get that stuff blown right at you, and there's a lot of it, it pretty much is like someone blowing a fag on you.
Yes,
you
know, yeah.
Like, you wouldn't want to be eating and stuff around it. But no, that's good anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, staying off the bloody tabs. Good on you.
Yeah, trying to. So
yeah. Yeah. Good man. Good man. Purge 3.
Are we recording?
Yeah. This is on. Sorry, I thought you knew.
No, it's fine. No, sorry. I didn't mean to yawn.
they did a sequel to that Knocking Shop documentary.
Oh, shit.
Apparently it was on last night.
Nice one. Yeah. I shall have a look at that.
Must have been popular to get a sequel.
I know.
Because, hopefully with that old guy with the flat cap on.
Yes.
Back for more action.
Exactly. Bloody hell.
Well, yeah, she's thinking of expanding, apparently.
Oh, is she?
Planning an expansion, so it must have done a business good. Which is a bit depressing.
I suppose it is, isn't it? Fucking hell.
I wonder if they got any backlash from it. If any, like, protesters showed up or anything like that, or if they got any religious types sort of wandering in to have a go at them.
I thought it would have made news. You know, if someone off the telly becomes a minor celebrity, and then you'd expect if they get into any ruckus, it's newsworthy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true, yeah. But, I mean, they might have a bit of that anyway.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's kind of understood that Atcliffe is the, what's the word, it's the zone for that kind of thing.
And yes.
You just stay out of there if that's not what you're into.
Exactly. If it was a Knocking Shop up in fucking Door or something, it'd be a bit different.
Yeah. I think that's safe to say. Yeah, that would be funny. Apparently there used to be a one on Chesterfield Road. Which is Maysbrook, isn't it, pretty much?
Yeah, my mate used to live next to one on Wolseley Road, which is just off Aberdale Road.
Oh, Athena.
The Athena song, yeah.
Yeah, bloody hell. What? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I did hear a story about someone I only knew through another friend. Used to go in there for a hand job, which is very grim.
Fucking hell. For a hand job?
Yeah, pretty grim
style. The one thing you can do yourself for free.
I know, I never really understood that. Why go to a place like that for a hand job? Like, I mean, I wouldn't go in for anything, but yeah,
I know.
It doesn't really make much sense.
Just with your budget. Oh, shit. Sorry, Jim, that was a low blow.
Should we do the awards? Oh, no, Purge 3.
Purge 3, yeah, go on.
Not masses to report. It's got Bayliss in out of Homicide, Life on the Street, if anyone's into that.
Okay.
Which is good to see, although he's kind of old man Bayliss now rather than the sort of keen young rookie.
Has it got the main dude in from the other one?
Frank Grillo?
Frank Grillo, yeah.
He would have made a fantastic Punisher. It's a bit of an opportunity missed, but he's basically playing the Punisher, really.
Okay.
But as a security man.
He's Crossbones in Captain America, isn't he?
Yeah, that was another beef with Civil War, because he was blatantly the best character in it, and he's just,
he's just
a bit of fluff, really. Although apparently he might be back again at some point, because I think he was quite popular.
Good.
Yeah, but he's good in it, and more of the same, really. But there's a bit more of a sort of moral factor, because it's about a woman trying to stop it. Her family gets kind of murdered when she's a teenager or something, and she's kind of, she's like, yeah, she's, we slag off the Guardian, but she's like the sort of who the Guardian readers would vote for, who we'd vote for, you know.
Yeah.
And she's against these kind of Daily Mail types that want the Purge to carry on at all costs. And
okay.
So yeah, a bit.
That
more
sounds
of
good.
A,
sounds good. Yeah. I'm definitely up for that.
Sort of base level politics, which. I suppose it is, you know, these films where horrible stuff happens, if they come from America, there's often this need to justify it in some way, or we need to feel bad about it at some point. Whereas I kind of like Japan for that factor, because, you know, in Battle Royale, there's never any kind of moral kind of...
That's true.
Nobody ever seems to kind of get pulled up on the lack of morality to it all.
Yeah.
But it's good, check it out. And it's got a guy from... There's a black guy in the first one who's the reason the house is being attacked, because the kid takes sympathy on him. And
yeah.
he returns as a kind of rebel sort of guy.
Right.
He rebels, to quote Rogue One. So that was interesting. So I thought I recognised him, and I was like, oh shit, it's the guy from... Yeah, so that was cool. Although he was in the first one so infrequently, it took me a while to figure out who he was, to be honest.
Right.
Because he only really shows up right at the end of it. He spends most of it kind of hidden in someone's bloody wardrobe. No sign of... What's his name? No sign of Omar from The Wire this time, sadly.
Shit.
Which was an opportunity missed, because I was hoping he'd be a big part of it. Or does he... No, he doesn't die, I don't think, in the last one. So he should have been in there, really. But if you like the Purge films, you'll definitely get something out of it. It's not the best one. For me, the second one remains my favourite, but it's more in line with the second than the first.
I really like the second one. It's got a nice John Carpenter feel, as I think I said.
Yeah.
So yeah, sweet deals.
Yeah, get involved, mate.
Bloody will.
Awards. Let's do it.
Have we got an award for Stinker of the Year?
Stinker of the Year. No, let's make one. Let's do one right now then. So,
good.
Go for it.
X-Men Apocalypse. Bag of shit. Next.
I didn't see it. I didn't see it yet.
It's shit.
So many people slagged it off. I thought
it's reprehensible dog shit. It's got two good bits. One of them I can't remember. The other one is the Quicksilver bit. But there you go.
Video, right.
There you go.
I'd have to go with Civil War.
Oh, you shitter. Civil War's alright.
Fucking terrible.
The kids on the tarmac.
Nah, I'm being a bit harsh on it, but...
I know.
I mean, I think it's when you've made the effort to see something at the cinema, paid that money. You know, it's like £12 for me now to go to the local cinema.
I know.
Right, bloody rip-off. And... I liked Captain America 2 a hell of a lot. I thought it was a weak follow-up. But that's just my opinion, you know.
Fair enough.
You don't have to agree with me.
I don't have to agree with you, but... you haven't seen X-Men, and I can't allow Civil War to be Stinker of the Year, because there's worse shit than that.
Well, we don't have to agree on... I mean, we can have our own...
All right.
We don't have a definitive answer.
Okay, fair enough.
It's good if we do, but I don't think we have to.
All right.
Film of the year?
Shit, do you know, I've listed all the other stuff. I've not actually listed film of the year. Fuck me, man. I might have to go with Batman and Superman, but part of me thinks that I feel like a bit of a sympathy vote. I don't know.
There were, I mean, there's some strong scenes in it, but it wasn't a complete winner, I don't think. I'm more interested in what's going to come next than...
Yeah.
I've been a bit torn on mine.
What have you got?
Because two films I got a lot out of. The one I should say is... I should give it to 10 Cloverfield Lane, which I thought was fantastic.
Right.
Really great kind of thriller, kind of almost horror, I suppose. But part of me thinks I should give it to The Greasy Strangler. Just would be so fucking gloriously outrageous and... Because The Guardian gave it no stars and all that.
Do you know what? Even though I've not seen it, Jim, I'm going to wholeheartedly agree with you on this one.
Yeah.
I've got confidence in you. You get my vote. But cool. So Meet for the Beast film of the year is The Greasy Strangler. Is that what I'm saying?
Let's do it.
Sausage. Excellent.
We should tweet about that, because they might give us a retweet with it being an independent film.
Oh, yeah. Shout it out, proud.
Fucking A. Everything about that film I thought was fantastic. It just, especially the kind of Billie Jean nod where he's dancing down the street with his dick out. For no reason. doesn't even, there's no explanation as to why that happens. It's relevant to the plot in no way. Yeah, that was some solid viewing.
Sounds wonderful.
Album of the year, McVeigh.
65 Days of Static. No Man's Sky. Music for an Infinite Universe.
Blimey, good stuff. Yeah, but yeah, that was all right by me. In fact, yeah, I'll go with that as well.
Yeah.
Honourable mention to Richard Ashcroft's, I think it's called These People.
The album. Okay.
Which good return to form from.
Well, that's good. I gave him a wide berth after his fucking United States of Benetton, whatever his fucking thing was. You know, what was it called? United Sound. Fucking hell! You have to delete this.
What did he make a shit album?
It wasn't. It was United. It was Richard Ashcroft and the something. It wasn't. It was after the Verve reunion.
Yeah, vaguely rings a bell.
Oh, it was pretty bollocks, man.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I was never a massive fan of his solo stuff. Like that song for the lovers.
I thought his debut solo was decent. The two after it, I thought were bollocks. I really love that song that he did with Uncle, Lonely Soul.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's a strong song.
You can't beat that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was called RPA and the United Nations of Sound.
That's a terrible title.
So Richard Ashcroft, what's his middle name? Paul? Peter? Paul. So Richard Paul Ashcroft and the United Nations of Sound. Absolute dog shit. And yeah, fucking piss. Drivel.
Yeah, that's...
And I think that's the last thing I heard, and that was 6 years ago.
Right,
so
right.
That kind of put me off, I'd say.
Yeah, I could understand with that title. I probably wouldn't get much out of it either.
You say he's back, though?
Yeah, it's got a few strong kind of, what's the word, you know, standout sort of hit type songs on it. Especially the title track, We People, though These People. It sounds a bit like History, but upbeat.
All right.
If you're ever a fan of... urban hymns and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
Just quite a fresh kind of sound to it, and I thought it was great. He's playing the Castlefield Bowl next year, but I looked it up and the tickets are £45, man.
Yeah, there will be.
For an outdoor venue, kind of just sat on some cold concrete.
I paid 55 to see New Order there.
Really?
Yeah. But it was good. It was good sound, and I'm not saying it was worth £55, but I thought, you know, I've not seen New Order in about 18 years, so I'm paying that fucking money.
Yeah. Should talk a bit more about 65 album.
Of course, yeah.
So I just jumped in there with Richard Ashcroft, who doesn't really need the press, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, 65 Days. I guess, and if you listen to this show before, you'll have heard me wanking on about the best band. In a long time, and they've been the best band for fucking years, actually. 65 Days of Static, local lads, done well, and they got commissioned by the dude from, I can't remember the name of the games company, to do the self-generating score for No Man's Sky, which, to be fair, No Man's Sky got like critical acclaim, but there was a massive backlash about it.
I caught wind of that. Yeah,
I think the problem was that look at here's an empty sandbox for you to go and play in, and you know, you're the limit, your imagination is the limit in terms of where you can go and what you're going to do, but it turns out when left to your own devices, people are a bit boring and need to be told what to do.
Right.
So the point of this plotless game was that the problem that people had was that there wasn't a plot. And it's like, so mean I can just do anything I want? It's like, yeah, go and do something. Oh, all right. What shall I do? Whatever you want. But should I? So it was. I guess that's what's unique about it, and it's a fresh thing, and people have no real frame of reference because it's not like a standard game. Yeah.
I suppose, have you got the option to like go and nuke a planet and that kind of thing as well as explore it? Can you go down the destroyer mode?
You can, I think you can go down and create havoc, yeah. But I think you've got to collect stuff. You've got to do some mining. You've got to level up, and then you find an outpost to trade your stuff. So you've got to constantly expand your own repertoire in order to become a badass. You don't start as a badass. I think the only point to the game is discover the planets and try and find the center of the universe or something like that.
I can see the appeal. I'm in two minds because, on one hand, I like the idea of, it seems like a stoner game. I can imagine if I was into gaming and getting stoned, you know, I like getting stoned, but I don't do it very often, and disappearing into a galaxy.
Oh yeah, I think
amazing.
You'd lose a lot of time, big time.
But then, after a while, I suppose there's only so many fucking blue elephants you can see playing the piano or whatever on Planet Zero, or I don't know.
Yeah,
I think I could see why you'd get bored as well. But
I think there's a load of stuff to do, but I think the limit is what you want to do, really. Again. Back on topic, 6 5 Days scored this. So the album's a double album of 10 tracks of actual pieces of music, and then the other disc is a mix of soundscapes, which we used by the, because it's self-generating, it's all algorithm based. I guess they had to make pieces of music and certain like tracks within the music.
Yeah,
it'd be able to be triggered by a certain event happening in the game. So if X happens, Y plays. If Y happens, X plays. And so no one's going to have the same experience of it. I think that's what's fascinating. I mean, it's been like that with, it's not the same thing, but whenever you go off piste on Grand Theft Auto and you're just twatting about driving around causing havoc, you drive past someone on a street corner, that person's on that generated character is only going to be there at that time. And it's a little detail. I remember when I used to get stoned, we used to play San Andreas, and in the game, because that was on the PS2, you know, really basic. In the game, your character had a camera, and me and my mate there was a character like a walking, it had a stock like bank of pedestrians, and one of them was this shirtless black guy wearing a red hat and red tracky buttons, and when you bumped into him, he'd go, "Hey, what's the merchandise?" And we called him Leroy. So whenever we were out twatting about, we'd stop and take a photo of this Leroy wherever we found him. And I remember bombing it down some hills, and I saw a Leroy on the side of the road, so my plan was to run him over. But I fucked it up, and I caused a bit of a pile-up, and I got out of the car, and you can just see Leroy's legs hanging out from under the car, and I took a photo, and then when I looked at the photo, there was another fucking Leroy driving the car, and I was like, shit, man, you couldn't have made that up, you couldn't have construed that to happen if you were trying your best.
That was good. I was also remembering where this went. You gave us a demo of GTA. Well, it wasn't for me because I knew it, but Melissa was a teacher at the time, and all the kids were on about GTA because it was a relatively new thing, and she was in the dark, so you said, "Oh, I'll give you a demo." And you basically,
this is GTA 4, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, you did the whole sort of, you know, showed all the death stuff, and then drove around till night time and got like sex with a hooker, but then it started raining in this dark alley, and you started chasing down the alley in your car. Eventually ran her over
because she was running over. I kept driving up to her and pulling back, beeping my arm.
And then it ended with you running her over and shooting her in the head. And I remember while she was bombing down this alley, the character, just the atmosphere in the room just changed to be like the two, like Joe and Melissa, obviously, like just slightly appalled at you. It's great to witness. It just you went on way too long with it, and kind of really, you could see this look of real sort of sadistic glee on your face.
Shit, Jim. Sorry about that.
That was great. No, I thought it was brilliant.
Can I just add, when you do run over a prostitute that you've had way with, she coughs up the money, so you get your money back as well.
It's bloody wrong. Yeah, I think she was
terrible.
I think part I think the main reason she was appalled was just the fact that all the sort of 12-year-olds she was teaching were kind of talking about it all day and stuff.
Yeah, that's the reason it's rated 18. You know what I mean? That's the parents' fault. I'm not to blame for that shit.
Yeah. Comics. Have you been? I know you've been reading Miami Vice, the remix with Marfood. Anything else?
Yep. No. Yeah. Sorry. Nothing.
So
I've read jack shit, so this one is in your hands, Jim C.
Well, that was certainly a good one, the Marfood Miami Vice book.
That's fucking sweet, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks fucking just looks insane, and it's quite an insane story as well to match.
Yeah,
worth checking out. But I think the thing that grabbed me the most this year that I read was when I was on holiday. I read New Frontier, which is quite old now, it's about 10 years old, and it's by Darwin Cook, who was one of the many deaths this year.
Yes.
Bit of a legend of the sort of comic and animation world. He was one of the guys who came up on the 90s Batman show, and then he went down the comic route and sort of forged a bigger name for himself through that, I guess. And that was a great one. It was basically his kind of opus. Just everything he loved about comics put into like one Bible-sized graphic novel.
Yeah.
Which had Rick Flagg in it, coincidentally.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, Flagg's a big part of it, even though it's way before Suicide Squad was talked about.
I think, yeah, I watched most of it was on Amazon for a bit. I kept watching the animated movie and kept giving it up or having to go to bed at the same time, so I kept missing it. But yeah, what I saw of it was great. It's got the vintage feel, like doesn't it? Is this what I'm talking about?
Yeah, New Frontier. There's an animated film of it as well as I enjoyed the film, but I think the books, it's kind of got its own thing going on, because to turn the whole book into a film would take forever, and nobody would know what half the characters were, because he did quite a brave thing. He kind of led with some very, very obscure DC characters, and I think it takes like four comics till you actually reach the likes of Superman and stuff, which
is
probably why it's not as famous as it should be, because it's it's fantastic bit of storytelling. Like, and I got the opportunity to read it cover to cover like in a day or two, and just left me flabbergasted. I was like, fucking hell, I wish I could do something like this with my life. But it's clearly the result of a career of, you know, he clearly didn't do it overnight, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Career of doing other stuff and being ready to do it. And I don't know, maybe he did it because of the cancer. I'm not sure. Wanted to leave something badass behind, perhaps.
Well, that sounds that's sad, but nice.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. So that's honourable mention. I think going for something from this year. I know you don't like this kind of thing, but I've been buying sort of all ages comics for my kid, for Roisin, and because I just got sick of fucking Julia Donaldson and all that shit.
Yep.
And I bought her a graphic novel called Scooby Doo Team Up, and it's like Scooby Doo teaming up with like the classic Batman and bare-legged Robin. Going around solving crimes and stuff, and that's pretty badass, so I think that'll be my nomination.
Fuck it, let's have that. We'll meet for the beast. We can like what the fuck we want.
Amen.
So
Scooby-Doo team up,
there we go.
And RIP Darwin Cook.
Shit.
So you've got your soul crusher was
Anomalisa.
Okay. And the stinker, I'm going to go with yours. Even I've not seen it since you gave me Greasy Strangler.
Fine.
It was the new X-Men, wasn't it?
Yep.
Cool. So we're at the grand moment. So we have a little drum roll. Now,
just how about the sound of a belt unbuckling, zip unfastening.
I think we kind of did. We kind of agree on it last time I saw you.
I think we did, but I think I think we did agree.
So
to a degree.
Okay.
But I've got two honourable mentions. If it depends. Well, I saw Passengers.
Cool.
I suppose I should talk about Passengers, actually. I went to watch that.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
Have you seen it?
No, but it's one that was on my radar.
I'd rather wait till you've watched it, because I've got issues with it.
Okay,
but
okay.
One thing I took away from it, late addition to the list for this award, Jennifer Lawrence, J-Law, lovely, just lovely.
Yeah,
in that.
Yeah.
Yes. So she gets a certain doff of the cap or a twinge of the shrews.
Any other honourable mentions?
Honourable mention for Margot Robbie, obviously.
Shit. Yeah, yeah.
Shit, son. Harley Quinn.
Oh, sorry. Right, yeah, of course, yeah.
Because obviously, I think this year I finally got around to watching The Wolf of Wall Street and Suicide Squad. Margot Robbie, hot damn.
You want to watch Zed for Zachariah as well?
I'll give it
Netflix.
I'll give it a spin.
So different in that, it's insane. She's clearly actually really good actress, I reckon. So the winner, I've got the envelope here. The winner of 2016 Trousers Down Award goes to
Cara Delevingne.
Hey.
Because I think she's actually, you know, she. No, it's fine. Yeah, this is purely for her. Well, it's not. It's purely for her strong performance in Suicide Squad.
Anyway, to that friend.
In fact, she fucking channeled Joanna Lumley, like you said.
Yeah.
It sounded like a pissed up patsy off of Amp Fab.
You don't have the balls.
She's got strong eyebrows.
Yeah, I actually thought I saw her in John Lewis recently, which isn't out of the question because like the Cheshire set all shop there. Because I'm on the border of kind of Wormslow and all that sort of thing. And
okay.
So if she's like kind of, you know, from that general area or from, you know, or from Stoke or somewhere like that, then it's very possible that it was her. But she had like an unusual haircut, but I'm guessing she'd probably wear a wig if she was out and about.
I'd have thought so, yeah.
But yeah, kind of did wonder whether that was her, which would be really weird. But apparently the cheeky girl shop there.
Hey, cheeky.
One of the cheeky girls got done for stealing in the local Sainsbury's.
Oh, get out.
Yeah, according to Matt Hindle. Yeah. But yeah, here we go, anyway. The trousers are down. The unbuckling.
It just sounds all tinny. Good on her. Because she's also next up in Luc Besson's new film. What's it? Valerian and the lots of special effects or whatever it's called. Which looks interesting for sure.
It's always worth checking his stuff out, especially he's got a real, what's the word, that Mobius guy. He's got a real Mobius feel to it in the trailer.
Yes, but Luc Besson is frigging hit and miss. He's all over the frigging show, isn't he? I mean, I thought Lucy was entertaining. But,
I didn't mind it. It wasn't amazing, but it, you know, for like a boring Monday night, I put it on and was like, that was all right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's all right.
Again, a bit of a trousers down kind of theme.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm debating whether we should, you know, mention this on Twitter with her account or not.
I don't. No. I vote no.
Yeah. Definitely do the Greasy Strangler one though.
Yeah, I agree.
I draw as a Greasy Strangler kind of picture.
Nice.
Yeah, well, I'd want mind seeing that with you, man. It's one, I think.
No, I'm bang up for it. It's a shame you keep. I'm such shit. Are we still recording?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. This is just chat, you know. Because you're not coming over for podding, so we'll need to do something on that front.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm quite happy to. I need to come over I need to come over to your neck of the woods anyway, so try and do something early Feb.
Yeah.
If you got Greasy Strangler.
No, but it's one that I would like to get. And if you were going to bob over, I'd definitely I'd invest, I reckon. But it's probably my turn to come to you, I think.
I suppose
the last time was a bit of a mutual. It was a bit of effort for us both, I suppose. So, I guess we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Yeah,
I know you're a busy man.
I'm not that busy.
A love life to a single man's whatever.
Living the dream.
Right, mate. I don't know about you, but I'm out of gems now. Not that we really had any anyway, but
I know.
Anything else you want to add?
No, I'm good. All right, mate. While you're on, Hunt for the Wilder People has just been added to Netflix today, by the way.
Ah, bloody hell, right. Sam Neill.
Yeah, Sam Neill, and it's by the guy who did What We Do in the Shadows.
Cool. Yeah. Check that out, then.
Bloody hell. Same here. Yeah,
and a bloody peep.
Exactly. So I'm quite excited about that.
All right, man. Nice one. So I think this was episode 26, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
So that was episode 26 of Meat for the Beast.
Meat for the Beast.
Just to recap, so the film award went to The Greasy Strangler and The Trousers Down. Cara Delevingne, is it? Enchantress. Delevingne. Yep. Sorry. Yeah. So exciting. Exciting times.
They sure are, Jim.
You heard it here first.
Meat for the Beast, don't fuck about.
Did you like my Tim Booth joke, by the way?
I did, yes. Very good.
I'll just recap it.
Just refresh everyone's memory.
What do you call a singer who knows the knows what time Tim Booth and his mates will normally arrive? Etta James.
It only works. It only works when it's written down, Jim. It only works when it's written down.
As in ETA James. Terrible. It's fucking rubbish. Actually, I'll cut that shit out.
Use that as the opening bit of the opening pre-music bit.
The one to hook them in with.
Yeah. No, it's fucking rubbish. I'm going to cut that out.
Yeah. All right, mate. I'll hopefully see you soon for some liquors.
Yes, man.
And Greasy Strangler.
That'd be great.
I've enjoyed this. Nice.
Yeah,
one.
Me too. Take it easy. Love to the fam, and I'll see you soon, man.
Stay on the line, but
yes.
Adios.
Oh, all right. Yeah. In that case, sorry. I was saying bye from me. Sorry, mate. You're gonna have to edit this shit.
Where's your head been tonight? Every 10 minutes, it's like, oh yeah, we're recording this. It's like rung up some fucking jelly brain.
Right.
All the liquor taking effect.
It's all the holes.
Wet brain, McVeigh.
Jesus. So, yes, thank you for listening.
Yep. Cheers for having us. And we'll see you next time. That was episode 26. Boom.
Boom. So, yeah, as we like to do on Meat for the Beast, we like to close the show with musical numbers, courtesy of our nearest and dearest, and also new friends, I guess. But this time we've gone with someone who's really close to us, none other than the Grimsby Lantern himself, who's dishing out some dirty, funky, instrumental business with The Calls Are Coming From Inside the House. Check this shit.
up. I can't get through to Jennings. I want you to call that girl. Nash, be calm. Don't tell him the guy's in the house. Just tell him to put down the phone and walk straight out the front door. Nash, if you blow this, I'll kill you.